Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we learn how a teddy bear went to Iraq and inspired a children's book. We learn how a deployment led to a children's book describing what that means to little people. And we visit with Alina Hospitals and Clinics to learn about their programs to support military service. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
In order to capture the youth of today, you have to capture their imagination and passion. Enter Mission Starbase. Starbase is an exciting and rigorous science, math, technology, and engineering program that strengthens skills, increases motivation, and expands opportunities for inner-city youth. Students, grades 4 through 6, think like scientists and engineers, experimenting and exploring the wonders of flight and space. Located on an area adjacent to the airport, on the base for our 133rd Airlift Wing, Starbase Minnesota's hands-on curriculum, aerospace resources, and dynamic instructors create a powerful combination that brings out the best in students. Science and math are transformed from abstract, isolated subjects to concepts that are interdependent and relevant in today's scientific and technological world. Starbase puts the fun back into learning. Students discover solutions to real scientific problems and experience math and technological and essential tools in the process. They experiment with rockets, gliders, wind tunnels, vacuum pumps, and Newton's carts. They explore aircraft, map the surface of Mars, program rovers, and perform missions in space. Students conduct computer simulations and use engineer software to design and manufacture aerospace equipment. These experiences and many more are simply a week in the life of Starbase students, where the universe becomes larger and futures brighter as they soar to new heights. Said Todd Zolik from the Department of Education after a visit to Starbase, "Starbase Minnesota is an excellent program that really captures the interest of the students who attend. Its focus on real-world applications of math and science helps to inspire students to truly believe that they could be future scientists or mathematicians." Since elected to the U.S. Congress, Keith Ellison from Minnesota's 5th District has been a strong advocate for Starbase and has led congressional support for a $1.9 million improvement and expansion of its facility. Due to Representative Ellison's work and efforts of countless others, I am proud to announce the grand opening of a new Starbase facility on October 17th. This state-of-the-art site will further the educational goals of Minnesota and the nation, namely to have U.S. students as leaders in the field of science, technology, and engineering. I would like to commend Representative Ellison for his work in helping to expand and improve the Starbase program. Additionally, I extend my thanks to all those educators who are using Starbase to reach students in an exciting, creative, and innovative way.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Joining us now is Mary Linda Sather, the author of Boo Boo Bear's Mission, the true story of a teddy bear's adventures in Iraq from Duluth, Minnesota. Mary Linda Sather, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you so much, Tom.
I understand you've had a career as an educator in Duluth?
Yes, that's true, in Duluth and the surrounding area.
And I also understand that you have a son who's with the Minnesota Air National Guard's 148th Fighter Wing.
And that's also true, yep.
And he's been deployed several times.
He has. He's done 3 deployments.
And he was the surprise recipient of a teddy bear on one of those deployments, wasn't he?
He was. On his middle deployment, his daughter, his youngest daughter, was particularly distraught over his being gone and decided that she wanted to send her very most precious belonging, which was a raggedy old teddy bear she'd had since she was born. So she stuffed that into one of the care packages the family sent. And when Ron opened it in blood, there was this teddy bear.
He had to be one of the most surprised airmen deployed overseas.
I think he was, and he was also touched by his daughter's generous spirit.
And so that event, how did that? Did you immediately think that you were going to turn that into a book?
I had some thoughts like that, yes. First of all, I wanted to be sure that I could preserve the story in some way for our own family. And then I got to thinking that this story could be a book with the potential to help other people with separation issues, especially other military families during the deployment cycle.
And was there a particular message that you wanted to convey with the story?
I think that, you know, in addition to having a story that kids would enjoy, I wanted for children to know that it's okay to feel whatever they feel. And certainly there's a big mixture of feelings when a parent departs, especially for a long period of time. I also wanted to give children something positive that they could hang on to. Even though Shaylee was really upset at being separated from her dad, she found a way to focus on the positive. And in the end, fortunately for them, everything turned out just fine.
And she, for a little person, she found a way to send her love halfway around the world, didn't she?
She did, yes.
Now, I understand. I see the illustrations look very special. It looks like they're done by a child. Can you tell us about that?
Well, when we started thinking about how the book should be illustrated, I was kind of vacillating between either finding a professional illustrator or asking kids to be the artists. And after talking with Shaylee, we decided to go with child illustrators and set up a couple of illustrators' days where kids had a chance to come and make their contributions for possible inclusion in the book. We had 38 children who were both from military and civilian families, and 21 of those kids had their illustrations actually in the book.
Now, can you tell us, based on your experience with your son's deployments and writing the book and the illustrations, do you have any specific suggestions that you would make for parents in the military and how they can help their children?
I think there are three key points. One is the importance of being open about feelings at a developmentally appropriate level for children. Parents, it's important, I think, for them to be able to talk about their feelings and invite their children to do the same so that kids can build a vocabulary that helps them express themselves better and so that their parents then understand better where their kids are at. The second thing would be looking at family connections, ways that families can stay connected even though they may be physically thousands and thousands of miles apart. There, I think one suggestion I would have would be for families to develop some kind of a ritual before the deployment that could be continued while a loved one is away. Maybe younger children could be kissing the deployed parent's picture and saying goodnight each night. Or for older kids, it might be listening to a favorite song that's shared by the person who is deployed. And the third point I would make would be ways that families can look at helping to develop healthy coping strategies, productive ways so that kids have some options to acting out or regressing or shutting down, all of the things that can happen when kids are upset. So each of those sections is dealt with in the back of the book, and there are many specific ideas that parents could use, and then, of course, they can build from there to develop their own.
And those are great ideas. Can you tell us where is the book available?
The book is available online on my website. Probably the easiest way to get there would be to just Google Boo Boo Bear's Mission, and that's easy to find. Otherwise, it's also carried online at Amazon and other bookstores, online. And let's see, I'm trying to think where else. Probably that would be the best way. Some local bookstores also may carry it or can order it.
And Mary Linda, we're just about out of time, but you're from Duluth, which is a Yellow Ribbon city and home to a family assistance center. And we talk about it quite often on the program. Are you involved with the military community up there?
I am. I'm certainly connected with the 148th and have done a lot of work with them and their families. In addition, I belong to the local Blue Star Mothers chapter, which is very connected with the Yellow Ribbon activities. And I'm looking at being a companion at one of the future honor flights that will go out of Duluth with World War II veterans. So it's a real privilege for me and a pleasure to be connected with the military in these various ways.
You sound like a busy lady from Duluth.
Yep, I am. It keeps me going, and it's very pleasurable, certainly.
Thank you for joining us today on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
You're most welcome. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. That was Mary Linda Sather, author of Boo Boo Bear's Mission, The True Story of a Teddy Bear's Adventures in Iraq, right here on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Coming up next, we'll have two more authors in, the authors of a book called A Very Long Time. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Now joining us is Jerry Timberley and Nikki Arrow, the authors of A Very Long Time, a book for children of military families. Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, ladies.
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Jerry, I understand that you're a retired Robbinsdale school counselor?
That's correct.
And Nikki, you're still working at the Robbinsdale schools?
Well, actually, I'm on a child care leave right now with my young children, but I taught first grade there for 12 years.
And the two of you got together, and you are the co-authors of a book called A Very Long Time, a book for children. How did this come about?
My son was deployed in Thanksgiving of 2003. And as educators, just like the previous guest you had, Mary Linda, you understand that it does make people feel good when they have somebody to relate to. So he was deployed, our granddaughter was three, and I went looking for a book. And I looked at all the local bookstores, the library, and there wasn't anything for very little people. There was one for teenagers, but nothing for little people to understand what the concept of a very long time is all about.
So you were looking for a device, a book, to help explain to a three-year-old what does it mean because daddy's going to be deployed.
Right. What does a very long time mean? Because when you say, Mom, when's my birthday? And she says, oh, a week from Saturday, that's a very long time. And 9 months or a year and 18 months is a very, very, very long time.
And incomprehensible to a three-year-old mind.
That's right.
And so how did you two come to team up on this? Where did the idea for a book come from?
Well, we always thought we could be authors. Every time we'd read a book, we would say, well, we can do that. But then in looking for the book for Kylie, she happened to come home from daycare one day, and a little boy at daycare told her, you don't have a dad. She said, well, yes, I do. He's just at drill for a very long time. So we looked at each other and we said, oh, we can do this. So we sat down at the computer and we wrote the story about Kylie and her dad and his deployment while he was gone for a very long time.
Had either one of you ever tried to write a book before?
No. In our minds.
Yeah.
And, of course, as educators, you deal with books all the time.
Right.
So how long did it take to write the book?
I hate to say this. It took us probably, maybe an hour, maybe two.
I was going to say 5 minutes.
But it was the editing that took the very long time.
Yeah.
So starting the book and putting it on paper was okay.
Yeah. Right.
Did you get it finished by the time your son came home?
Actually, no. My son was injured.
Oh.
And we put it aside until we dealt with all of that. And it actually was published the year after his injury and everything happened. So we began the book in full gear after he was home, and we knew he was okay.
That's good. So then you picked it up and got back to it, and it took a very long time.
Yes.
It? Now, I haven't had the pleasure of seeing this book. Is it illustrated? How did you put that together?
Well, when we were kind of doing this self-publishing thing, trying to figure out how do you make a book and how do we get it to these kids that need it. And so we, you know, we're struggling with how do we put all the parts together. And I was teaching first grade at the time, and I had a student who was a remarkable artist. And I approached her mom and said, we're working on this book. I would like to have Marlena do some test drawings for our publisher. Would that be okay? And they ended up loving the drawings. And Marlena would come in her whole second grade year during recess time because she was no longer a student in my class. And we would read the book, and then she would just draw whatever came to mind to go along with that page and that section of the story. And it was really incredible because she ended up putting this little teddy bear into the story that she had never known that Kylie had. So it was just kind of this neat connection that came about. And she was a phenomenal artist.
My favorite was the picture she drew about President Bush because he had a V-neck. Yeah. She just knew him as a second grader, President Bush, and she really had him in a sailor suit with a V-neck.
Not a suit and a tie.
No.
So, Jerry, the book is called A Very Long Time, and you're trying to explain that to children. What's the story that unfolds in the book to try to explain the concept of a very long time?
All of the idea, the things that they go through. When is Christmas? When is my birthday? And you, like I said, say it's next week, it's 2 weeks, and what's a very long time? We also then put some things in there that they could do so they could see, like make a paper chain for 365 days and take a piece of the chain off every day. And as it got smaller, mom or dad would be coming home. We talked in the book, too, about sending packages over to the troops. So that there were also things that little people and families could do in the place of and getting over to the person that's deployed.
Some ideas on how to stay connected.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're speaking to Jerry Timberley and Nikki Arrow, the authors of a book called A Very Long Time, which is a book for children whose parent is deployed and will spend a number of months away from home. Now, how long has the book been out, and have you talked to some little people that have read it, and are you getting some indication that it works?
My favorite story was from a coworker that I had who was also a grandma. And she bought it for her grandson, and he slept with it under his pillow because it reminded him of his dad who was gone, and also because he didn't want his little sister to take it away. That was his book. So there were many reactions like that, many from grandparents who felt a connection, I think, with my mom having her son be gone and her grandchild be going through this issue.
Our book is put in backpacks for children of deployed soldiers. And some of the soldiers who have gone over there, the family have had the soldier read the book and send the CD or tape back home so that the kids could watch them read
the
book.
Hear their voice.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I have to ask you, your son's home, and he's recovered from his injuries, and he's read the book. What does he think?
He's very humble, as is his daughter. Yes, he is recovered from his injuries. And in the end of the story of the book, it says, Dad came home, and now he's mine for a very long time. And I think that's exactly how they both feel.
I bet he's humble, but I bet he's proud of the fact that you wrote this book, too, isn't he?
Sure. I'll say sure.
Can you tell us where the book's available?
Yep. It's available on our website, averylongtime.com, and also through some of the family unit coordinators, there have been several thousand copies donated that are available to military families if they just get in charge with the people who are in charge of family readiness and those kind of programs in their actual unit.
Ladies, it sounds like you did a great job on this book, and I want to thank you for that and for joining us on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Jerry Timperley and Nikki Arrow, the authors of A Very Long Time, a book for children whose parent is deployed and will spend a number of months away from home. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase and discuss how the Yellow Ribbon Community Campaign has united communities in support of service members and their families. In less than 3 years, nearly 100 Minnesota cities, companies, and counties have officially been proclaimed Yellow Ribbon. After last week's proclamation ceremony in New Ulm, 3 additional counties were added to the fold. The latest networks to demonstrate a sustainable commitment to the military community include Jackson, Martin, and Watonwan counties. Each of these counties has unprecedentedly generated Yellow Ribbon leaders in each city within their county and across all key areas. They have created action plans to support military families within the church communities, the school districts, through the employers, their public safety departments, and civic organizations. This support in Jackson, Martin, and Watonwan counties eases the transition for service members and families throughout the entire deployment cycle. These newly proclaimed Yellow Ribbon counties recognize that they have an active role in supporting military families. Dozens of more communities across the state are still in the process of creating their own Yellow Ribbon networks as the Yellow Ribbon Community Campaign continues to make a difference. Thank you, proclaimed Yellow Ribbon communities, for showcasing your commitment to service members, their families, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon is a comprehensive program that creates awareness for the purpose of connecting service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects and coordinates organizations, agencies, and companies to provide resources and support to service members and their families. And it is united to bring service members all the way home. To learn how you can become a part of a Yellow Ribbon network, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org and find a family assistance center in your area. Coming up next, we'll talk to Alina Hospitals and Clinics about the program to support military service right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. And now it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelido.
The last 10 years have projected the military into our national consciousness. But we are now a nation that appears to have grown war-weary. We are facing economic challenges coupled with historic budget deficits. I am very grateful to the support of our governor and legislature who have demonstrated they place great value in our mission and in Minnesota veterans. However, some in our state are willing to reduce or eliminate benefits in hopes of capturing dollars to balance the budget. I was recently asked why our budget shouldn't be cut. My answer is that veterans have earned these benefits, and this is about keeping promises made by a grateful nation and state. But the fact is, veterans also provide a boost to our economy. The majority of Minnesota's returning veterans assimilate back into their communities and jobs. They enroll in school, raise families, become civic leaders, and pay local, state, and federal taxes. Last year, veterans brought back approximately $1.6 billion in federal dollars to the state. This allows our veterans to remain economically self-sufficient while reducing the burden on state and local budgets. Veterans are an income generator for the state's coffers, and veterans are also an integral part of Minnesota's cultural experience. Their service to our state and nation is honorable and legendary, and their continuing leadership has helped make Minnesota great. To all veterans, thank you for your service and leadership.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelido. For more information, please go to the MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Now joining us in the studio are Stephanie Lyons and Craig Malm from Alina Hospitals and Clinics. Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. Thanks for having us here.
Stephanie, you've been with Alina Hospitals and Clinics for how long?
I've been with Alina for 11 years.
And what do you do there?
I currently work in the Information Services Department.
And Craig, how long have you been with Alina?
And Tom, I've been with Alina quite a bit, 25 years now. Director of Community Engagement for the Northwest Metro of Alina, and we work in not only helping to improve the health of the communities that we serve, but also working with our employees and promoting volunteerism and supporting our employees as well.
That sounds like a big job to do, a big format.
Yeah, it's a fun job.
That's good. You look like you're enjoying it. You got a big smile on your face. Stephanie, Alina Hospitals and Clinics has a program going now called the Military Spotlight.
That's correct.
How did that come to be?
I came across a brochure about the Minnesota Military Family Foundation golf tournament going on
this past August and thought it would be a great idea if Lina was one of the sponsors, as they are with some of the other golf tournaments and different events around the community.
So what did you do with that brochure?
Well, I actually stuck the brochure into an inner office envelope with a post-it note on it saying to our CEO, who I had no interaction with prior, and just recommending that maybe this was something that Alina wanted to get involved with.
And to your surprise, what happened?
I got many phone calls and a number of emails from Mr. Paulus, and he consulted with me about what some of my ideas were in supporting the military troops, and sent out an email to all of our 24,000-plus employees, just highlighting what his interests were, what the interests were, and had a really good response from it.
Craig, you never know how things are going to get started, do you?
No, you don't. And I think Stephanie is a great example of how one employee really has made a difference at Alina. After approaching Ken Paulus, like Stephanie mentioned, they had several conversations. Then Ken sent an email to all of our employees. And I would say of the 24,000 employees, we had several hundred employees that responded to him, because he said, I would like to hear from every employee that is either serving or has served in the military or has family serving. And I have a whole pack of emails that were sent back to Ken. And from that group of employees, we actually then sent out a survey gauging their interest in supporting an event, which became more than an event at Alina. And we actually formed a subcommittee of approximately 25 people, which Stephanie helped lead. And from that, we helped develop our spotlight.
Stephanie, did you have any idea you were going to be on a committee and have some new responsibilities?
No, I didn't. Nor could I at that time take on that additional responsibility, but it was very happy to be participating.
And Craig, just at what point did Mr. Paulus get you involved in this? I know you're the director of community engagement. This sounds pretty engaged to me.
Yes, actually, Ken and I had a conversation separate from the one with Stephanie's, because I actually work beside a employee whose son has been deployed in Afghanistan and had a previous conversation with him. So I think Ken thought I was a good one to lead that effort. And like I said, it was really, he handed it over to the whole group of 25 people. He was extremely supportive of us, but it was really an employee-driven process. And we developed three committees. One of the committees actually helped develop a care package drive, and we actually collected over 10,000 items across Alina. We had those all brought down to the Alina Commons and had a package event on Flag Day. And we ended up sending out 675 care packages to our troops overseas. And then on that Flag Day, we had a great event, which, of course, you were at, Tom, and Judge General Rick Nash and Senator Perry and several others. And that's how we got started with this.
We're speaking to Stephanie Lyons and Craig Malm from Alina Hospitals and Clinics on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. We're right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Stephanie, it sounds like a lot of things happened from that one little note that you sent off to Mr. Paulus. Were you surprised?
Oh, absolutely. Especially with a company of Alina's size, I didn't expect to get the response from Mr. Paulus that I did, let alone the magnitude of all the other employees responding in such a way of, especially the care package drive. That was really, it was very moving for everybody that was involved.
And Craig, when I attended with General Nash that day, I saw T-shirts. I saw a lot of Alina hospital and clinic employees. People were pretty excited.
That's right. We had we encouraged any employees that were presently serving to come in military uniform. We had employees from all across the system sending in packages. Those who didn't attend were able to attend some local events. I know that Mercy and Unity Hospitals, for example, both had flag raisings for Flag Day. The one at Unity had the Mayor of Fridley. So we were trying to make it a big day across the line, and the event was spectacular.
I think you did a pretty good job of it. Now, these packages, I saw the pile of goods that you collected when I was there that day, and I understand that a lot of Alina employees stuck around for many hours putting those boxes together. Where did they go?
We had 675 care packages that went overseas. Most of those packages went to Iraq and Afghanistan, and we're still getting thank you notes from those who received the packages. We had one sort of a colorful note back, and they were laughing because apparently in their care package they got a 25-pound Tootsie Roll, and they were joking about the Tootsie Roll and handing that out. So
it would be a fun surprise when you're in a war zone, wouldn't it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Stephanie Lyons and Craig Malm from the Alina Hospitals and Clinics. We have to take a short break, and we'll come back and we'll hear more about this great story about the military spotlight at Alina Hospitals and Clinics. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and my guests today are Stephanie Lyons and Craig Malm from the Alina Hospitals and Clinic, the Military Spotlight Committee over there. Stephanie, this is a special day, and I know you wanted to say something.
My daughter requested that I make sure that I wish her happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Madeline Lyons. Stephanie, I wanted to ask you, we've been talking about the Alina Hospitals and Clinics Military Spotlight Program, how it started with a simple gesture and a brochure with you to the CEO, and it evolved to the committee, and 675 boxes sent over to troops, and supporting the Minnesota Military Family Foundation and the AUSA, and all kinds of things happening. Is the committee still functioning and looking for future events?
Yes, we actually are. We're contemplating doing another drive at some point. We're just looking at all the timing of everything that is being asked of our employees. Another thing that I think Craig can speak more to is we had set up a website for our employees where they could share information on their family members that had been deployed, sharing photos and that kind of thing.
And Craig, you're the director of community engagement, and you're really engaged now with the Military Spotlight, aren't you?
Right, I sure am. The website that Stephanie mentioned is actually a link to our primary Alina website, where all of our employees can go on to something called family.ning, and it's a support site for families of troops overseas that are deployed, and it's actually a site anybody can go on and share stories, and there's a lot of cool pictures of people that are deployed, et cetera, and it's a great thing that's ongoing. And like Stephanie said, we want to make sure that this spotlight was just not a one-time thing. So we're looking at different care drives in the future. An example is a candy buyback that started at one facility last October. We would be possibly doing that across the Alina Health System this October, where the candy is bought back from the youth, and then we send it overseas. We're also looking at also doing more care package drives, and we definitely have a lot of interest across Alina from many employees still.
So let me understand, you're buying candy back from the youth, and you're sending it to our soldiers.
Yeah,
overseas.
You think that sounds like a good plan? I don't know.
What else is in store for the Military Spotlight at Alina Hospitals and Clinics? Can you tell us?
Well, one of the things that I think both Stephanie and I can talk about is we are supporting local Beyond the Yellow Ribbon campaigns. For example, the city of Spring Lake Park is currently looking at developing as a city for Yellow Ribbon, and we are supporting them in that and seeing what kind of services we can offer, both in areas of mental health, chemical dependency. We're talking about doing a depression screen, but supporting them in ways that we can appropriately in the healthcare field.
And as our listeners know, our regular listeners, the beyondtheyellowribbon.com is the website for the Yellow Ribbon programs. And there are almost 100 communities now that formed and been proclaimed Yellow Ribbon entities. And their purpose is to support the families of deployed troops and sometimes just mow the lawns and shovel the snows and maybe do some babysitting. So you're helping out the Yellow Ribbon communities as an additional resource to help with those.
Well, yes, we definitely want to do that on a continuing basis and stay involved with those communities and do what we can as a healthcare provider.
And Stephanie, you're still doing your regular job as a business analyst at Alina, but you're also still on the committee, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yeah, and I probably won't give that up.
Good for you.
It's too much fun.
Craig, we just got a minute left. Any final thoughts about these programs? What a great institution, the Alina Hospitals and Clinics, helping support our troops and their families.
Well, I do want to just say that this is a great example from, I think, Ken Paulus, our CEO, down to everybody that works for Alina, that everybody really pulled together. It was great not only for the troops, the things that we were able to send overseas, but it just pulled our community together of our employees. And our employees really, I think, felt more committed as employees and to Alina because they thought that we're showing that we care for our community and our employees. And like I said before, it's a good example of how one employee can make a difference in such a large system. You know, think of Stephanie, what she started, ended up reaching 24,000 employees.
And they really decided that they wanted to do this. It didn't come from the top, did it?
That's definite.
Absolutely.
That's a great job you're doing over there, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Have a great day.
That was Stephanie Lyons and Craig Malm from the Alina Hospitals and Clinics. For more information, you can go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Now it's time for Mail Call. Joining us is Sergeant First Class Melanie Nelson. What's in the mailbag today?
Hi, Tom. Well, I have a letter here from Dan. It says, we are about to begin the official process of getting Apple Valley proclaimed a Yellow Ribbon City. Can you let listeners know about our kickoff meeting on Monday, September 19th? Thanks, Dan.
You know, I think we just did that, didn't we?
I think we did, yes. But I have a little more information for you, Tom. That Apple Valley kickoff is Monday, like you said, on the 19th. It starts at 6:30 at the Apple Valley American Legion, and that is the address is 14521 Grenada Avenue in Apple Valley. And one of the neat things that are going to happen at that kickoff is a collection of all the different key areas of the community. They're asking supporters and leaders to come out and learn how they can get involved. And I'll just run over those key areas for you really quick, Tom. It's the educators, the elected officials, employers, the faith-based organizations, veterans and civic organizations. They like to have public safety officials there, as well as medical and social services people. And of course, the bread and butter is always just people who support, volunteers who support military families. And if you want to go on the 19th and you have questions, Dan told me that you should go ahead and give Bruce Folkin a call. And his number is 612-719-4711.
Melanie, I understand we're sitting at 94 proclaimed Yellow Ribbon entities now, and there are more communities in the process, like Apple Valley starting?
Can you believe it, Tom? I mean, we're about to break 100 here. Yes, just this past week, we had kickoff events in Brooklyn Park, Oakdale, Appleton, so those guys are just starting their process. And now here in the future, of course, you know, Apple Valley on Monday, but Oakdale, they have a kickoff coming up on soon, and Forest Lake has one in early October, Monticello, another one. So it's really an exciting time at Beyond the Yellow Ribbon as we see all of these cities, whether they have an armory in them or not, really rally to support military families. And if you're curious if your city is a Yellow Ribbon city or you want to get involved, go to beyondtheyellowribbon.org and click on the Family Assistance Center button and call your local Family Assistance Center.
Thank you, Melanie.
Thanks, Tom.
If you have questions for our mailbag, please go to theminnesotamilitaryradiohour.com. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, authors Mary Linda Sather, Jerry Temperley, and Nikki Arrow, and from Alina Hospitals and Clinics, Stephanie Lyons and Craig Malm. And, of course, our usual mail call guest, Sergeant First Class Melanie Nelson, Commissioner Larry Shelledo, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesotans Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk to the Command Sergeant Major with the 1st Brigade Combat Team in Kuwait, and we learn about the Minnesota Fallen Heroes Project calendar. That's next Sunday morning at 7 right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.